Welcome and thank you for joining us for this service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the October 12th, 2025 service in Plymouth, the 18th Sunday after Pentecost. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank.
From the dust of the earth, God formed life.
From the breath of God, all creation sang its first song.
The rivers dance in their channels, the fields whisper in the wind, all bearing witness to the Creator's hand.
We come to join the chorus of creation, to give thanks for the earth and all its gifts.
God calls us to till and to keep, to sow with care, and harvest with gratitude.
Let us worship the Lord of sun and soil, whose love waters every living thing.
Next is the hymn for the beauty of the earth. Next is the hymn, There Is a Redeemer.
Thank you.
The first scripture reading is from Psalm 8, and I'm reading from the Pew Bible, page 492, if you'd like to follow along. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all of the earth.
As I start a series on stewardship, we turn to Genesis to form the basis and foundation for the weeks ahead as my sermon series continues. This song, a rather fun song, is about creation and how we human beings participated in that. And so I bring you, man gave names to all the animals.
Thank you.
I think I'll call it a
snake.
I thought we had to start all over again. Who knew that Bob Dylan singing that song would show up in church at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens? Who knew? That song reminds us of humanity involved in creation itself, both at the beginning and continues to today into the future. We turn to our Old Testament text in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 28. When God began to create the heavens and the earth was complete chaos, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while the Spirit of God, like a mighty wind, swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness God called night. And there was evening and morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made a dome and separated waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening and morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And so it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together God called seas. God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, fruit trees of every kind on earth to bear fruit with seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with seed in it. God saw that it was good. And there was evening and morning. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be the lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made two lights, two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser night to rule the night. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters, and every living creature that moves of every kind, with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the waters with the sea, and let the birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps on the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness.
Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all wild animals of the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created humankind in God's own image. In the image of God, they were created. Male and female, God created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." This is the word of the Lord. So I begin a stewardship series. The first stewardship series I did years and years ago, fresh out of seminary, was a 15-part series on stewardship. And if you want to see a diminishing return, because attendance was about this level on my first sermon, but about my fifth sermon, it had already dropped to this level, and with 10 more ahead of us, it was soon going to plummet even further. I've learned to speak and not say so much, even though I'm a verbal guy. So we focus on stewardship one, cultivating the earth. We're going to learn several things as we move through these Sundays of stewardship. And the first is this. The earth is the Lord's. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And as a wonderful professor in seminary taught me, he said, Genesis is so much more about who created and so much less about when and how. God created the heavens and the earth. That's the who. We're not exactly told when, and we're not exactly shown how. This is how everything starts, with God. Why do we start here with stewardship? Because it starts with God and this life that we have been given by God. Before there was light or life or even time itself, there was God. God creating, God shaping, God calling the world into being, and each time saying, "It is good. It is very good." And that phrase, "very good," it's not small talk. It's God's way of saying that creation reflects divine intention. God wanted to make things so. It's a way of God saying that creation reflects God's own intention. The rivers, the mountains, the trees and stars, the creatures that creep and crawl, even the snake, yes. And I have to say, why the mosquito? But that's for another sermon on another day. It includes people. People made in God's image. All of it was blessed. All of it purposeful. All of it good. The first thing Genesis teaches us about stewardship is this, that the world does not belong to us. We didn't make it. We didn't purchase it. We didn't do anything else, but we inherited it. And God, the one who made it, is still the earth's rightful owner. Psalm 24 declares this, "The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, everything, the soil beneath our feet, the air we breathe, the paycheck in our hand, the time we live within, all of it belongs to God. We are not owners, and yet we participate in creation. As we name the animals, as we till and take care of the soil. We are caretakers. We are stewards. We are trustees of God's grace given to us. That's the foundation of stewardship. Stewardship is not fundraising, but it's faithfulness. It is not control, but it is calling. A calling to us to say, here, work with this. And we step up to the plate, baseball imagery, step up to the plate to this calling that God gives us. Our human vocation, it is to cultivate. Just after we hear that God created the heavens and the earth, we also then hear God saying to us, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over every living thing. That word subdue has carried a lot of baggage. Too often people have taken it to mean, use it up. All these resources are for you, so gobble them up, burn them up, use them up all you can. No, it's not that. Take charge, dominate. No, it's not that. It comes from the Hebrew word in Genesis, kabash, radach, subdue and have no dominion. But it's not about exploitation. It's about ordering creation so that creation flourishes. It's the work of cultivating, bringing forth life, fruitfulness, and goodness out of raw potential God has built into the world. God is not giving us permission to plunder creation. God is inviting us to participate in creation, to till, to tend, to care for it as gardeners in God's garden. It's in chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 15, where it says it plainly. The Lord took humans and put them in the Garden of Eden, to till it and to keep it. To till and to keep. These two Hebrew verbs mean to serve the ground and to preserve it. In other words, work it with care and protect its ability to thrive. It's much like what Ken and Zelda have done with their garden. They raised it this year. And I know why, because it's when the backs and muscles and bones get a little bit weary from the work that we toil over, we get sore. And so with a raised garden, I see, I know what you've done there. And then with what they produced out of that garden, week after week after week, they've shared it with us. They've been keeping, tilling and keeping that garden. And now it's producing more than ever. Our calling is not to dominate the world, but it is to cultivate it. Dominion, not domination. Let's think about that word, dominion. Dominion does not mean domination. Dominion means responsible authority modeled after God's own care. So when God reigns, God brings forth life, order, and justice. When God exercises dominion, the hungry are fed. The lost are found. The broken are healed. And creation itself rejoices. That's the pattern we imitate. To have dominion in the image of God is to nurture, not to exploit. To bless, not hoard. To serve, not seize. This is as true in our finances as it is in our fields. It's as true in our communities as in the climate. We are called by God to rule as God rules, with compassion, imagination, raised flower beds, I'm telling you, and care. And so we cultivate the earth in practice. So what does this all look like in practical terms? How do we live out this ancient command to cultivate the earth here and now, in our homes, here in our church, in our daily routines? I want to suggest four ways that that shows itself clearly. To cultivate creation, we care for the land and life around us. Start small. Plant something in a raised flower bed. Grow a flower or even a vegetable garden. And as if I were to ask this question of Adrian, she would add, reduce waste, recycle, buy less plastic. And when we go and purchase things, support our local farmers. Reuse what we can. Remember that everything you and I touch comes from the earth that God made. We don't have to be an environmental activist to care for the creation. We just have to pay attention. Every act of care, no matter how small, is a way of saying, this world still matters to God and it matters to me. When you and I conserve water, when you and I feed the birds, when you and I tend a small garden bed, we're joining God's ongoing act of creation. No, these days we're not naming the animals alive on this planet. That's already been done. But we are participating in God's ongoing act of creation. Secondly, not only the aspect of cultivate creation, care for the land and life around you, cultivate gratitude. Live with enough. Stewardship begins with contentment. The Apostle Paul wrote in the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7, we brought nothing into this world and we can take nothing out of it. The constant hunger for more, money, more possessions, more security, is what keeps our souls restless. But gratitude turns what we have into enough. When we pause before a meal, when we give thanks before paying our bills, or when we share what we have with others, we remember that every good thing comes from God's hand to us. Living gratefully is the simplest and deepest form of stewardship we can live out. It changes how the world we see, not as something to conquer, but as something to celebrate. Cultivate creation. Care for the land and life around you. Cultivate gratitude. Live with enough. And thirdly, cultivate generosity. Sow seeds that bear fruit beyond yourself, myself. When we give, whether it's a gift of money, time, or talent, we're planting seeds in God's field. We never know how those seeds will grow. A small act of giving can change a life. Words of kindness can spark faith. Simple gift of love can ripple outward with blessing. I love the phrase, pay it forward. This is exactly what takes place. We don't give because the church needs our money. We give because generosity is part of God's nature. And we were made in that image. When we give joyfully, we're reflecting the character of our Creator, who delights in giving life to this world. I love the image of Genesis, where God plays in the mud, forming human beings, and then breathes life into them. Fourthly, cultivate community. Tend the garden together. No one tends God's garden alone. Stewardship is communal work. It's us work. In Genesis, God says it's not good for the human to be alone. We're meant to live in networks of care. Families, churches, communities, and together we share the work of cultivating the good. When we serve together, build together, pray and plan together, something more than efficiency happens. We experience what Genesis calls image bearing, reflecting God's rational nature. When this church serves a meal, or repairs a home, or supports a mission project, we are participating in the creative energy of God. Last Sunday, half of our worshipers went to Warm Springs Presbyterian Church. Half stayed here and worshiped here at Plymouth. Our communion service went and served communion here, and it served communion there. Though we were in different places, we were doing very much the same thing. We were tending God's garden together. And in brief, because I'm such a verbal guy, from Warm Springs, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. Pat, I'll need to hear from you. Was it beautiful here too? And God said, it was good. The first portrait we have of God in Scripture is not of a king, not of a conquering warrior, but a gardener. God separating light from darkness, water from land. God fills the earth with color, form, and fragrance. A gardener's work of beauty and balance. And then when God creates humanity, God breathes divine life into mud so that we too can be creators. Those who name the animals, those who shape and nurture and heal. Every time we fix something broken, plant something green, encourage someone weary, or give in ways that bless others, we are continuing God's creative work. That's at the heart of stewardship. Not obligation, but participation. And God invites us into the joy of cultivating life. So what can I say? We have a call to cultivate. What does it mean to subdue the earth, to have dominion? It means to cultivate, bring forth life where God has planted us, to take what we've been given and make it flourish. Whether it's a patch of soil, a paycheck, or even a relationship. The earth is not a warehouse to empty. It's a garden to tend. When we give, when we serve, when we recycle, teach, repair, or yes, forgive, we are cultivating the earth, and we are reclaiming our place in God's good creation. So may we live as gardeners of grace, people who take joy in the soil, hope in the harvest, and trust in the God who still walks among the trees as God walks and talks with you and me. The Lord God took the human and put them in the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it. That's the work. That's the joy we are called to. Amen.
Next is the hymn, Morning Has Broken. Mm-hmm.
So we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Next is the hymn, This is My Father's World.
To till and to tend, to plant and to praise. May your hands be gentle on the earth, your hearts open to the wonder of creation, and your lives bear fruit that blesses the world. And as you go, may the Creator who formed you from the soil, the Christ who walked upon it, and the Spirit who renews it day by day, bless you and keep you forevermore. And we say,
Amen.